Murder on the Tundra, appeared in the Treta Yuga, which is now approximately more than 1 million years ago. Yet still today, the influence of Lord Ramachandra is so strongly felt. 1 million years have passed, and yet no one has forgotten. Still, we remember how some years ago in India, this Ramayan saga produced the television series on the Ramayana. And at that time, all of India became captured. I was living in India at that time. So everyone got a television, and not only that, everyone would give preference to the Ramayana. When people were on trains, they would pull the emergency brake and somehow or other get out, find a village and find a television. When government was in session during the Ramayana, they would stop, adjourn the session and watch. We also watched, all of India watched the Ramayana, because so much is Lord Ramachandra still dear to all the people of India.
Something treble or something like that.
Why is this so? Because Lord Ramachandra was in all respects the perfect example, always. Never was there a moment when Lord Ramachandra was not acting according to the noble principles of Dharma. Dharma is the prescribed duty that is given to us in the revealed scriptures. Such Dharma governs the life of those of the noble and elevated souls. But who can be like that? It is not easy. In general, the common people in the world are weak in living up to ideals. But the Lord appeared and gave an example like it had never been seen. Who could follow so strictly, so nicely? We recall that King Dasarath, the king of Ayodhya, was living in great opulence. The city of Ayodhya was a city which was very cultured. Many Brahmanas resided there who were extremely learned. There was great wealth and opulence in the city, and the king lived there very happily with various screens in his royal palace. And on one day, the king went to the palace to go to the royal assembly hall. And as he was going there, near the entrance, there was a large drum. And as the king was walking into the assembly hall, all who were present stood up to receive him, and the drum was beating, following the rhythm of the steps of the king who ascended the throne. Then the king was nicely welcomed and received by all, and finally the king began to speak. And the king explained that yes, indeed, he was most grateful. He was most grateful that everything in his kingdom was flourishing in this way. But there was one thing lacking. One thing was lacking. And that was, the king did not have a son. So how could his dynasty continue? So in this way, we can understand the anxiety of Dasara at the time, who then arranged to perform a great sacrifice. And it was through this sacrifice that Dasara received special grace, and that the Supreme Personality of Godhead became his son. It is said Lord Ramachandra is Lord Vishnu, Narayan himself, and his brothers, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, they are known to be the weapons of the Lord. Lord Vishnu, as we know, is holding various weapons. Sudarshan, he's holding also the gada, the club, and he's holding sankha, also the kansha. So these three became actually the sons of King Dasarath, along with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan. And thus, these various weapons are glorified in the scriptures as personalities. We find lengthy descriptions about Sudarshan, the disc of the Lord, who is a devotee of the Lord and dedicated to the Lord. So it was not surprising that these various weapons of the Lord now appeared as the brothers of the Lord to continue their eternal service. So Lord Ramachandra grew up very auspiciously, and to the great pleasure of Dasarath, his happiness knew no bounds. Having such wonderful sons, especially Ramachandra, it was just, those were the happy years of King Dasarath. Meanwhile, there were other personalities on the planet as well. Not far from there, Ravana had performed many great austerities. Along with his brother, Kumbhakarna. Both of them performed the greatest austerities and became extremely powerful. Oh yes. A third brother was Kuvera. Kuvera, of course, is known as the treasurer of the demigods, and Kuvera, therefore, had this amazing plane. It could fly at will. And Ravana decided that was more suitable for him than for Kuvera. So he took it. There was no discussion about it, he took it. Some brotherly exchanges that can happen in the best of families. Anyway, it happened. Then Ravana was rolling through the sky, accompanied by so many lakshas. And Ravana was disturbing various sacrifices, enjoying his great power and looking for a suitable opponent, someone who could match his strength. Ravana was very, very proud, and of course, a Rakshasa. Of course, one who was not adhering at all to any rules, any dharma, nothing whatsoever. So Ravana was in fact disturbing the principles of dharma, and did follow any social rules, but rather, on several occasions, became attracted to various ladies. That was one of his weaknesses. So, Ravana did not really care about such conventions as marriage, and he did not bother with these things. And he, in fact, he took the wife of a great sage by force. And subsequently, what could that sage do other than curse Ravana? So Ravana had quite a number of curses on his head of various personalities. He had once seen the sage Astavraka. The sage Astavraka is known as having a body which is bent in eight places. So he's not the most handsome looking sage, what can be said. So in that way, Ravana had to make some remarks, and that the sage looked just like a monkey. And subsequently, he was cursed. And he was cursed that your dynasty will be destroyed by monkeys. So in this way, little by little, there was a curse that if Ravana ever would lay his hand on any lady by force, that he would die. So all these curses created the basic conditions for the pastimes to unfold. We remember how pleased Lord Ramachandra was with his son. And we remember that one day the sage Vishwamitra came and asked Dasarath for some charity. Dasarath said, "My dear sage, whatever you wish, you are a Brahmana. It is my greatest pleasure to give you anything you want. Whatever your name, you please tell me and I will gladly give you." So happy that you came. "I want Ramachandra."
"Ramachandra? Not Ramachandra.
There is a great disturbance of many demons, and I want Ramachandra, the prince of Ayodhya, to come and kill the demons.
But he's only a boy. How can he fight?
He's only 16 years old. I will go myself, no problem. Tell me where are those demons, I will take care." And then Vishwamitra said, "So, Dasarath, you gave your word. Whatever I desired, you would give, and now you're taking it back." And Dasarath was thinking to himself, "Yes, I'll break my word, to hell with my word. I don't care. How can I lose my son?" But then he was thinking, "Yes, but if I do this, then I'm giving the wrong example to my son, because I'm supposed to teach him by example. So if I don't teach him that following one's word is the most important thing, then I spoil my son. How can I do?" So, and he had to allow Vishwamitra to take that boy, only a child, 16 years old, just a child, but to allow him to go to fight with these terrible, terrible demons. Vishwamitra took both Ram and Lakshmana, and Vishwamitra then taught them various mantras, various astras by which they were able to control certain weapons. And thus, Ram and Lakshmana.
That was not necessary.
Now it's worse.
But did you, can you put it back as it was? Appreciate it.
Reverend Baxter, it was indeed. So anyway, at that time, Ram and Lakshman learned the art of fighting with celestial weapons, and they managed to kill this terrible demoness and so on. At that time, Ram and Lakshman showed for the first time their power in fighting. And of course, it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, of wielders of weapons, I am Ramachandra. There is no manifestation of the Lord that shows that much prowess as Lord Ramachandra. Of course, Krishna also fights, undoubtedly. And Krishna and Balaram showed in Mathura how they killed Jarasandha's army, that was millions and millions, 17 times. But Lord Ramachandra, particularly as an incarnation of the Lord, showed so many amazing weapons, in fight with these Rakshasas, terrible fights, 14,000 Rakshasas being killed. Of course, we remember Kaikeyi, the young and beautiful king queen of Dasaraj. He liked her very much. She had served him so faithfully, and she was very happy also. But she had this maidservant. And the maidservant, the elderly maidservant, not so pious as we know, went into the private quarters of Kaikeyi and said, "You know, how can you just enjoy there, lying down peacefully on the sofa while everything is doomed?" Everything's doomed? Come on, what's on your mind? Calm down. But little by little, the old maidservant began to infiltrate the brain of Kaikeyi, and slowly they cleared Ramachandra. The king is planning to coronate him as king. This is wonderful news, Kaikeyi. He said, "No, don't you understand that Kausalya, who is the mother of Ram, will then become the principal queen, and you will be forgotten and disappear into oblivion. Me, I am the favorite of the king. Not anymore. You know how much the king loves Ram, don't you?" "He does love Ram a lot, yes. You know, Kaikeyi. You remember how once the king promised you his boon? Yes. He owes me a boon, yes, of course. Kaikeyi, why don't you ask the king to ban Ram to the forest and crown Bharat as king? Your son, And Kaikeyi did it. So this was the biggest drama. When Kaikeyi actually asked Dasarath to ban Ram to the forest, and everyone was destroyed. Everyone. How could this happen? The whole kingdom was unhappy. Dasarath couldn't even speak. You know, he's just shocked. He couldn't speak. His favorite queen just betrayed him. How could this be? The only one who was perfectly calm was Lord Ramachandra. He was not at all affected. In fact, he said, "My dear mother," to Kaikeyi, he said, "Why did you use these boons for these things? You could have just asked me to go to the forest and I would have gone. Now you used up these boons, you might have needed them in the future." Anyway, Lord Ramachandra went, and of course, Sita, his wife, decided that she would also go, although she was a princess, and really not meant to live in a forest. But wherever the husband goes, the wife will follow. So my husband goes to the forest, I will go to the forest. Sita also went, and Lakshman came to assist. Like that, well, that period begins, that they reside in the forest. And of course, then that killing of the Rakshasas and so on all took place. And finally, I've only 1 hour. How can I tell the whole Ramayana in 1 hour? It's not easy. I'm only at the beginning. So it's time that, you know, this golden deer appears, I think so. Marichi, golden deer. Oh, Ram, you see that deer? Oh, such a deer I would like to have as a pet. Oh, Sita, there is something wrong with this deer. Something not right. Oh, you don't want to get it for me? Ladies, once they want something, no? Oh, make a whole thing. Now he had to prove himself, you know, how much he loved her and get the deer and everything. So Ram was off into the forest to get that deer. But because he thought there was something going on, he asked Lakshman to stay there and guard Sita. Then when Ram chased that deer, he didn't capture it, he shot it, because he understood very well that this is the demon Marichi. But Marichi, on his last breath, called out with the voice of Ram, Lakshman, help! Lakshman immediately went there to deal with this, with the emergence. And he drew one line to defend Sita and said, stay behind this circle. No one will be able to approach. Then Ravana came as a sannyasi, came to bank some alms.
I'm a sannyasi.
There's some alms like this. And he managed to get Sita to come to the edge. He reached her arm over the line and then pulled her out of that. Took Sita. Well, a long story. He took Sita towards the south and gradually the great battle begins to unfold. First, the surge. The Tayu tried to stop Ravana. So he was a vulture and a devotee. So even vultures can be devotees. We wouldn't think, wouldn't expect it, that by nature would think a vulture is some sort of degraded creature. So see the message in the Ramayana, in the Ramayana, that actually even one who apparently, externally, doesn't have any qualification. If he shows the symptoms of a devotee, he is to be accepted as a devotee. Irregardless of his birth. What is a lower birth than a vulture birth? That's pretty low. Quite low. But still, the title was accepted as a devotee because he acted as a devotee. So this is the principle. The principle is Yasyalatsanam Kukam Pundarya Janyanjakam Yandipapitisita Tatvinayavinir said. One is judged by the qualities, not just by his birth. Krishna also says, Guna Karna Vivadasa. One is judged by the gunas, not by the karma, by the guna, by the qualities. So then we got that long surge. Ram went south, and eventually Hanuman came. And Hanuman is another interesting personality, as we know, because from his childhood, Hanuman was very powerful. And being actually the son of Vayu, therefore Hanuman was extremely powerful. His mother had been cursed from the heavenly planets to become a monkey, and therefore Hanuman became the son of a monkey. But it was Vayu's pregnancy. So anyway, from his birth, he was so powerful, very powerful, but also very violent. And at one point, because his mother was cursed, she had the benediction that as soon as you give birth to a child, you can return to the heavenly planets. So after she gave birth to the child, she was ready to go. But Hanuman, he grabbed her cloth and said, "No, wait a minute, where are you going?" She said, "Well, I'm going back now to the heavenly planets." "No, how can you go? You are my mother, and I'm hungry." She said, "No problem, no problem. There is plenty to eat, you don't worry about that at all. You can eat anything that is red and round." Now, it was actually before sunrise when this all took place, so Hanuman was hungry like anything and waiting, and all alone, and then the sun came up. It was red, it was round. So, Hanuman went for it. He jumped, and he was about to swallow the sun. And when Indra saw that, he became very worried, and he threw his thunderbolt. And we know that it broke Hanuman's jaw, and a little piece of his tooth. And that's, even now we have some toothpaste, so much better than him. After this, I'm not making advertising. But still I like it, that it is named after Hanuman. Yeah. That is very nice. So Hanuman is such a personality. Anyway, later, Hanuman, as he grew up, he turned out to be quite Brahminical also, and he wanted to study the Vedas and learn them from the sun gods. And the sun god is moving in a chariot, and there are 60,000 sages in the chariot of the sun god. So Hanuman wanted to study under the sun god, but the sun god still had some apprehension. You remember the earlier experience, he wasn't so eager to let the monkey in the chariot. But Hanuman said, "All right, no problem. I will just move in front of the chariot and I will hear all the discussions and I will learn like that." So Hanuman backwards, with folded hands, moved around to the sun and heard the Vedas three times, and in that way Hanuman became very learned. So when the first meeting took place between Hanuman and Ramachandra and Lakshman, at that time Hanuman, he spoke not only with suitable words but even on the right note. According to the Vedas, if you approach someone, you don't just speak. You don't just speak suitable words, but also the right note. Not too low, not too high, but just the right note. So Hanuman expertly knew how to address in a cultured way. So Lord Ramachandra could understand, oh, he is a learned, cultured person. Then Hanuman introduced himself as the minister of King Sugriva, the king of the monkeys. And then Lakshman introduced Ramachandra and said, "This is Ramachandra. He is the Yuvaraj, the crown prince in the Rahu dynasty. Very powerful and so on, great hero." And I, then he introduced himself and said, "I am his servant." He never said, "I'm his brother." If he would have said, "I'm his younger brother," if he would have said, "I'm his younger brother," he would have shared in the glory. And in that way, he would have indirectly glorified himself. But Lakshman shows the perfect quality of devotee by being humble and giving all the credit to others and not getting any credit for himself. That is the spirit. So many such examples we are seeing. Who can do so?
Everyone is glad when his name is there. Yeah, yes. This is my business. And that in the golden letters on the building, that's my name. That, I'm the proprietor. That's my name. Yes. And here is my visiting card, you know. So many titles, huh? So many titles we have. Yeah, yes. Doctor, director.
We take great pleasure in our own glories, but not Lakshman. Lakshman is not glorious. But the Ramayana continues. Eventually, the monkeys are looking everywhere for Sita, not a sign from Sita. And they decide that there is no point in returning home, because Sugriva was very clear about it. I want no failure. If you fail, no need to come back. So if you fail, we're as good as dead. Sugriva will not accept us back alive until we've been successful. And they were not successful and hungry and starving, and they decided they would give up their life. Now it happened to be so that they were lying down on a mountain on the southern tip of India. And just on that mountain there lived an old vulture. That vulture was very old and could not even fly anymore. And that vulture hadn't eaten for a long time. And he was looking and he said, look at all the food. This is amazing. This is a feast. Look at all these monkeys. Oh, this is very tasty. He was ready, came down, and then the monkeys began to talk, and they said, oh, and they've looked everywhere, and Jatayu, before he died, he said Sita was taken away to the south, and he went everywhere to the south. He never saw the vulture. Jatayu died. Turned out he was the elder brother of Jatayu. His food was speaking and were friends with his brother.
So that was a
major problem. Again, he nothing to eat. But anyway, you know these vultures, they can look long distance. They have built-in binoculars, telelens. So with zoom lens, he looked around, and sure enough, he saw Lanka. Then it begins. Hanuman jumps to Lanka, flies to the sky, and there is this demoness that comes like and has a blessing that whoever passes has to enter into my mouth. And Hanuman was flying and the mouth was open. And just as Hanuman came and the mouth was about to meet, Hanuman grew in size, and the mouth grew in size, and Hanuman grew further in size, and the mouth grew further in size, and then Hanuman came very small and inside the mouth, in and out. So in your mouth, settled, and then Hanuman flew to Lanka. So Hanuman took the form of a very small monkey, and Lanka had a big wall around it, and there was a demoness, a big powerful witch. She was guarding the city, and Lanka Devi. And Hanuman, he wanted to enter like a little monkey. Hey monkey, where you are going? Oh, I just want some fruit, something floating inside. Nobody is going inside. And Hanuman said, who are you to stop me? And then Lanka said, now you little monkey, you are so small and you have such a big mouth. That's amazing. Yeah. He said, you'd better be careful or I'll give you a slap. And she said, you give me a slap, such a small monkey. Hanuman said, yes, just lift me up and take me close to your face. She lifted him up, and then she got the slap of her life. Because although he was very small, he was still very powerful. So
That settled that, and Lankadevi was no longer an obstacle. Hanuman entered. Then it was night, and Ravana was asleep in his palace, and all these queens were there.
And there Hanuman was looking, you know, which one is Sita? And which one is Sita?
He could not find. But then later in that Ashoka, he found Sita there, gave her the ring of Lord Ramachandra. Then he was caught, and they had some fun and put his tail on fire. And he had more fun and burned down half of Lanka. And that's in that way. Hanuman started an early fight with Lord Ramachandra, with Ravana. Well, I have to move along. So, Ram came, monkey army, made the bridge, the stones were floating, and it was an enormous battle. So many heroes were fighting on both sides, and it was a terrible battle. Kumbhakarna, the brother of Ram, who had this curse upon him that he had to sleep. They tried to wake him up. It was very difficult. So they put lots of flesh under his nose. They made big drums next to his ears. Kumbhakarna would not wake up. In the end, they made a fire on his chest. While they were making incredible noise and held food under his nose. Then he woke up. And they were all in huge, big, slaughtered animals, and he ate all those animals and also the people that were offering the animals at the same time. Kumbhakarna had woken up. So Ravana called him and told him the whole story, and Kumbhakarna said, "Ravana, return Sita." But Ravana wouldn't hear it. Then Kumbhakarna entered the field and he just ate many monkeys, and it just created huge, huge havoc. Then in the end, Kumbhakarna was also defeated. In the end, even Ravana himself was defeated. He was defeated. And what can be said? Finally, the arrow of Lord Ramachandra hit Ravana in the heart, and Ravana was dead. Then Hanuman brought the news to Sita. Sita was still in the Ashoka Grove, and she was surrounded by these Rakshasis who were harassing her. And Hanuman said, "Sita, you are free. Ravana is dead." You know, Rakshasis were still harassing, so Hanuman said, "Oh, and I will just kill these Rakshasis." No, Hanuman. And Hanuman said, "No, it's not a problem for me. I can do it in a snap, you know. It's nothing. You know, I can just finish them off just like that." And then Sita told the story, and I'll share the story with you, because I like this story. And Sita said, No. Sita said, "You know, one day there was a hunter in the forest, and this hunter was creating havoc everywhere. And then the hunter came across one bush, and in that bush there was a tiger. And the tiger roared, and suddenly the roles were reversed. The hunter was running with the tiger on his heels. And that hunter somehow or other climbed in a tree, saved. And then he looked up, and there was a bear in the tree. He looked down, and there was a tiger. Oh, what do I do now?" Then the hunter began to speak. And the hunter said to the bear, he said, you see that man? He is a hunter. He is a common enemy. Kick him down." "No," the bear said, "I cannot do that. He is my guest. Came to my house. I have to treat him properly." Then the hunter said the tiger said to the hunter, "You see that bear? Kick him down, and I will eat him instead of you." Again, the hunter
gave that bear a kick, and the bear started falling down.
But then managed to grab the last branch that was hanging there and climbed back up.
And then the tiger again spoke and said to the bear, he said, "You see that treacherous man? You gave him shelter and he kicked you down. Now you kick him down before he doesn't win." "No," the bear said. "The fact that he misbehaves doesn't justify that I misbehave. He came to my house, he's still my guest." So, in the same way, Sita said, in that way, we cannot kill these rakshasis. The fact that they misbehave, Hanuman, does not justify our misbehavior. So in this way, we see such amazing principles of Dharma. And there are many, many examples that I cannot deal with today. I will just deal now with what happened after. And that is just too much. That is just too much. No. When Sita was brought before Ram, Ram was very pleased. And Ram said that he was very happy that she was saved. And now she could go. She was now free. She could go wherever she wanted. Go wherever. What is he talking about? Right. But because she had stayed the night in the house of another man, Lord Ramachandra was not willing to take her back. But it is said that Sita then entered into fire. And she came out of that fire unburned, undisturbed, as a sign of her chastity. And subsequently, Ram accepted Sita, they boarded a plane and went to Ayodhya, and it was a great celebration, and everything was so happy, until one day, as kings do, Lord Ramachandra roamed around incognito in his kingdom, and found that one man had an argument with his wife and was saying, "I'm not taking you back. I'm not taking you back. You spent the night in another man's house. You're not coming in. No way. Absolutely not. I am not like Ramachandra. He may take his wife back, but I am a prince." Then when Ramachandra heard that, his heart shattered in a thousand pieces, in a thousands of millions of pieces, because he realized that he had to send Sita away. And this is the tragedy of the Ramayana. This is the tragedy of Dharma, where we see that Lord Ramachandra comes to show the path of religious principle, and it goes even to the point that what is dear most to him in his life, he's ready to sacrifice. Even that he's ready to sacrifice. Just see how the strength of this Dharma. And it is for a million years that the strength of Dharma has been upheld in India. And it is for a million years that people have dedicated themselves to Dharma, to the duty, religious duty, according to the scripture, before anything. And many people have become glorious and saint. And therefore today is not just an ordinary function, not just a function where we are again hearing the well-known story, which we like. It is always nice. It is always nice to hear these stories. I can never tire from hearing these stories. Such nice stories. Yes, Hanuman, trying to eat the sun. And just Ram being noble, Sita being noble. All these amazing qualities that come out from the Ramayana remind us again and again of how we also must walk that same path of Dharma, and where we are getting our inspiration and strength to somehow or another live like that.
live for higher religious duty. So that is it. So therefore, today is not just a cultural event. It is not just an event where we are discussing the ancient culture of Bharat. But today, we are actually reviving, reviving in our heart the dedication. The dedication once again. So this is a day where we renew our commitment, which sort of, in the course of life, and in the course of living in this modern age, may sometimes become a little slackened. But on this day, we are renewing our commitment. Yes, yes, we will follow in the footsteps of Lord Ramachandra, of Lakshmana, of Hanuman, of Sita. And in that way, the noble culture, which has survived for over a million years now, will continue. According to modern science, a million years ago, on this planet, there were only the first primitive cavemen. Yes? At best. But according to the Itihas, according to the history of India, according to the history of India, 1 million years ago, there was the highest civilization and culture on this planet. And who are we going to believe? The Western science or the science of India? So, we are pleased to accept Ramayana not only as a beautiful, ancient story from India. We are pleased to accept the Ramayana as history, as truth, as a fact. Lord Ramachandra was here on this planet 1 million years ago, along with Sita, along with his transcendental brothers. And this is the mercy of the Lord, to teach the world how to perfectly behave. And that standard will stand as long as there are devotees of the Lord. So may we all follow in the footsteps of Hanuman, who is the perfect servant. Hanuman is known as the servant of Lord Ramachandra, who fully dedicates himself. So let us also, like Hanuman, completely give our life to following in the footsteps, the same principles of Dharma, the very same that Lord Ramachandra followed. He followed them to show us, not for any other purpose. He's the Supreme Lord. He doesn't need to live by God. But he does so to teach. And thus, we remember today with great pleasure the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Thank you very much.